Okay, this is Desi Andrews here in studio with Bill V. We have Ralph Winterroda on the line, and Ralph and I vote, Stuart, that you don't run and hide.
Well, I'm a weenie. I want to stay out of their sights. But when you quote it to them, how do they respond? I mean, so far everything I've seen is they don't follow their own rules anyway.
Ralph, how are we going to make them hold their feet?
Well, that's one of the things we're doing right now is filing injunctions against these people to make them stop. And
I know there's not going to be a silver bullet, but...
Well, actually, there's a couple of interesting things that people can do once they understand the concept. That, first of all, you must go... Everything is an agency, and agencies are not government. You must go to the Administrative Procedures Act of your state, or you must go to the Administrative Procedures Act, the federal one. And everything that's going to be subsidy, it's listed in the parallel table of authorities. Not all of them, but that's where they're supposed to be. And when you understand the situation is, agencies then come out and pound on us. They do it by statute. They have nothing. They have no penalties for violating the laws. So there's a couple of real simple things that we're going to put. I had a couple of legislators up here said, what's two things we could do right now? I said, number one, it's printed in Alaska, it's printed in the Congress, and the one in Alaska, and I wanted to get this to the senators, anything that comes from an agency must have the statute and it must have the subsidy regulation or you attach a criminal penalty. I'd like to make it a felony, but a misdemeanor will work just fine, and it's mandatory that they be charged. Mandatory. They wrote it. You want to operate this way. Okay, we have a civil law system where you guys are in control through agencies. Make these agencies accountable. 99% of everything going on would come to a grinding halt.
But that's the real problem that has gotten so out of control, isn't it, Ralph? There is nobody accountable, and they have the brute force.
Yes, they do. But we've got them sitting in the Ninth Circuit. It's sitting up there, and we've given them pause for cause. We've filed in an injunction up there, and they've not answered. We filed an emergency. They rejected it. We filed right back in a motion to reconsider, and they're both sitting on the table. And they're going to have to deal with it. We've got, like, the assistant to counsel sitting in the Court of Appeals in Alaska, and it's going to overturn the criminal system, and they are refusing right now to issue it, and we put in to get the judge's pay stop because it's been over 6 months.
Well, that's the nice thing about Alaska, for those out, what Ralph just said. If in Alaska, if a judge sits on a motion for 6 months and he's called on it, his pay stops until he rules on the motion.
Right.
I'd say that's enforcement some of us don't have, Ralph.
Well, what the thing is, and then the second thing that I said, asked the senator, they said, well, what's the second thing you want? I said, I want to do, because all of the police are in reality working under Congress, by and through the state to get money. They are all the enforcement arm of Congress or of your legislature. And they, all of the police, the sheriffs aren't that way, they just don't know it. But the police are all operating, and all they are is making, they're professionals and making citizens arrest. It's right in our statute in Alaska. The police make citizens arrest in the same statute we do without warrant. I said, you make it mandatory when I do a citizens arrest that the policeman has to arrest that person, and I will be the private prosecutor, but he has to arrest him and take him to jail, and if he doesn't honor my citizens arrest, he then must go to jail. It's mandatory.
I like that a lot. Stuart, have we helped you any?
Well, yeah, a little bit. It's just... Yeah, definitely, and I'll be at class Sunday, but the other thing was, you know, Bill and some other fellas are going into the courts with asking who's the lien holder on my property tax, on my property, and they refuse to answer.
Well, we've got one going up right now to the Court of Appeals, just the first step in the appeals, but it will be a constitutional issue. Since the legislature doesn't have the power in the Texas Constitution to lay and collect taxes, that will be the issue that's going up to the appeals court.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know, we all have to come out. We all have to get them in their Achilles heel. Will we see how I don't do this so well? We'll be right back after a break.
Okay.
We've got Doug and John on the line, and we'll get to those calls when we come back.
Hi, my name is Don Wiskin. You may have heard me talk about how I got my life back after a heart attack. Since then, I have shared Cartabite, a garlic and cayenne mixture, with many others. Listen to what some people have to say.
Like, I couldn't walk from my yard to go up to the corner. That's not even a half a kilometer. And I get about halfway there, and I have to go back because my legs are getting too sore already. Now I walk there, and I walk to the other end of the road, and I come back, and my legs still aren't sore.
I've drinking stuff. I got a whole window of pills here, but I wasn't on that thing a week. And I could just, like, you just know sometimes you sit with your legs crossed and your foot goes to sleep, and then you can feel it coming back. Well, that's just how this thing is operating. I can feel the feeling coming back in my feet.
To join the thousands already benefiting from Cartabite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit cartabite.us for more information.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years ago, Congress passed NAFTA. It was supposed to boost our economy. Instead, we lost millions of jobs and the nation is still hurting. But now Congress is quietly considering doing it again, but worse this time, by creating a free trade area of the Americas, also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Okay. I was no host there for a second since Paul cut my mic off. Ralph, let's take a call before you get back into it. It's Doug in Florida. Hi, Doug.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, good. Hi. This may be stupid what I'm about to say, but I'm going to just shoot for it anyways.
Spit it out.
In the Administrative Procedures Act in Florida, I've been reading a little bit in it on y'all's lead. And I see it says agency means, and it has A, and says the governor in exercise of all executive powers other than those derived from the Constitution. Is this exactly what you all are telling me?
That's what I'm talking about. How can he have powers not got given by the Constitution? Because your Constitution should say that the executive power is vested in the governor.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I thought that it was a good thing to bring up then, I suppose.
It was not stupid at all, Doug.
Okay, because that's why I've been trying to kind of verify what you all were saying here, you know, for the last, I don't know how many months I've been listening. And the other question is, have you been, I guess you are having it, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit. Are you having success with remedies using administrative processes?
What we're doing right now is we are hitting them so hard on these issues, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. And so what I'm doing is getting it. We have not had them actually like a garnishment, stop a garnishment yet, but we've given them pause for cause because we've got them in a corner. Like I say, the ones I've got the highest now is in the Ninth Circuit. I've got several others coming up. And what I'm looking to do now is, because I can explain it down in simple languages, simple language, and then be able to put it into a block diagram or a flow chart, if you will, so that people can start to understand that they're looking in the wrong places for the solutions.
Yeah, you don't look to jurisdiction or common law courts or those kind of remedies, the things that people typically call for in the courts. That's not where it is at all. Is it, did you follow administrative procedure? And if not, what are you doing in my face?
Yeah, in Florida we have something called code enforcement boards, and they put it in the Constitution. It's a quasi-judicial, they call it. And then you just certiorari it to the circuit court, which I thought to myself, you know, you really put it at a disadvantage that way.
Well, of course, you have to be very persistent and keep moving up the ladder, because they don't deal with it at the bottom rung. It's they're set up to shake you out and discourage you.
And keep you under their authority.
Absolutely.
Are you having success with remedy too, Desi, or not?
Well, you know, we're starting to hold them off, Doug. It's if they leave us alone, then I consider it success, and I get
right.
A lot of left alones.
Okay. And Ralph, when you do your flow chart, will that be on your news group, the one that you broadcast to people?
Yeah, it'll be on all of the groups. I'll put this type of stuff goes on all of the groups. Yes, it will be.
And then
okay.
On your homepage, too.
And we
right?
are, by the way, having success in a lot of areas. In the criminal areas, we're getting misdemeanor charges where they won't prosecute or they
right.
end up dropping them.
Right.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
John in New York?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I've been to court where they just completely don't let you represent anything. The trooper tries to make you hit them so that they can arrest you for something. And last year, because of financial problems and this horrendous lawsuit, I borrowed $250,000 against my retirement, in which I loaned it to our family corporation. And I'm hearing on the news last night as I'm sleeping that's the first thing for an audit that they're going to pick on. And so anyhow, I sent my income tax in with all this information, and I also sent in my lawsuit, which has been horrendous, of the judge hiding stuff, just this huge corruption thing going on. So my class A of learning accounting is to send in your lawsuit alongside of it for a battle. And also I had some information on the lost rights by Anthony Hargis.
Uh-huh.
And he has the U.S. Code of 1866, Title 42, Section 1982, as setting up for a right to petition and withhold your taxes. And so I'm kind of questioning on that. And the last thing I've got is, as the FTA, or not the FTA, but the NAFTA Act, is supposedly that international court supersedes our federal and state laws. And again, you go back to the 9/11 Patriot Act, and that says anybody financing a terrorist is, you know, guilty, and you're supposed to stop them. Well, bottom line is President Bush, by the international courts of Germany, have been found guilty of, you know, crimes against humanity. So now is he? Are we supposed to pay our taxes because it's enforcing a terrorism?
Well, Ralph, you were reading the domestic terrorism the other day. Do you have that handy?
Yeah, that's just what I was going to pull up here was what a domestic terrorist is. It's an interesting situation because, just a second here and I'll bring it up, but a domestic terrorist, in reality, all of our politicians and the police officers are involved in acts of terrorism according to their own definitions that they're using. And just a second here, and I'll have that pulled up. I'm pulling it up right now, and it says right here, a domestic terrorist, the term domestic terrorist, and this is, by the way, is in Title 18, Section 2331. This is their code stuff that they like to use. Domestic terrorism means activities that, B, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population. The other one is, and that one right below it, little I, two I's, is to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. And it's got to occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. But are they not intimidating and coercing a civilian population?
I'll drink to that, man.
That's their definition of domestic terrorists, because what they have done by hiding quote, laws of Congress to give them force and effect through agencies back against us, people do not understand that you must go to the Code of Federal Regulations, and then you must be able to find the subsidy regulation that has force and effect of law.
And he's talking about New York, so he needs to find administrative procedures in his state, right?
Absolutely. Now, yeah, if you go look in your Administrative Procedures Act, someplace it's going to say that they have to have a statute and a regulation for the accuser, and to defend it, you have to have the statute and the regulation to defend against it. It'll actually be there. Now, just like the Code of Federal Regulations, it says right here, and I'm just going to cite some of the things they say right here. Regulations must cite the statutory authority. That's in 1 CFR 8.5, it's in 1.21.40 and 1.21.52 and 22.2. And it also says in the parallel table of authorities that anything that has general applicability and legal effect must be published in the Federal Register. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 CFRs and Title 44, Section 1505. That's where the answers lie, and people just can't see it.
And he'll find the same thing in New York. Thanks, John, for the call. Appreciate
your call.
Yeah, it's what people have to learn to do is just putz around and see what the regulations that they're coming by. If they live by the regulation, their code and the regulation, then they can be attacked by their code and the regulation. True?
Yes, because the unambiguous language in all of the CFR says they got to have it. It says general applicability and legal effect. It must be published in the Federal Register and the Code of Federal Regulations. So if it isn't there, they can't do it.
So the IRS, somebody sends me a letter and said, we want you to do this, or we want your stuff, or we want you to come in, or we want you to do this. Mm-hmm. And they have sometimes they'll put a code in it, but they have no regulation. So I send it back and say, don't contact me again until you quote me the regulation that applies?
They actually, let me tell you this one. It's in, this one here is one you might want to write down. I'm going to be putting all this out. But this is in 26 CFR 601.702. It's a long, but all you got to read is the first page of it. It actually states right in there that the IRS must publish the subsidy regulation. They use that word. Under the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, 4A, Part 1 of this chapter, which is the Income Tax Regulations. Part 20, which is the Estate Tax Regulations. And Part 31, which is the Employment Tax Regulations for Withholding. They actually state they must use subsidy regulations. It's right in 601-702.
Okay, so our pal Dick Sim Cannon is in jail because they said he did something bad. Obviously, that wasn't his line of attack or his attorney's line of attack. True, when
they
took him down?
No, it wasn't. And the thing is that the IRS cannot testify. It's so easy to impeach him. That's why I was so,
hacked.
Hacked is a nice word. I'm trying to think of a polite word for it. When they did John Harpole's trial up here, and I sat in and watched B-Craft sat there and not impeach the IRS agent. That's the one. And I was just there for about an hour and a half. And of course, B-Craft didn't want me there. And then, of course, I left because I didn't want to bother with what John was doing. And then when I went in to read the jury instructions, and knowing what I know, it's unbelievable to sit there and watch people going to jail, screwing up their lives, spending tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, losing families, and it's all unlawful and illegal. And the judge says, I'm going to give you the law. He's a source of law. He is given the wrong instruction. That goes to everybody that's been convicted in an IRS charge, because the only force and effect of law, it's written in so many places, Chrysler versus Brown and Morton case. It's all over, but it's in the unambiguous CFRs. It's in the Title 5, Section 552.
But, Ralph, if you get something in the mail from the IRS and you ask them to cite the substantive regulation, and they'll ignore it, go straight to a judge, the judge will give a court order and order you into court before him.
Right. Well, the thing that we're doing, that we have to do, is we have to go up on appeal on these things, because what these people are doing, they're totally out of control. I mean, they really are. And you know what? I don't think that all of them understand really what's going on.
Okay, Ralph, we'll
really
be
don't.
Right back. And Frank in Arkansas, we'll take your call after the break.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org. Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you washed them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanol, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calben Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calben Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbenPureSoap.com.
Okay, we're back on the National Intel Report. We have Ralph Winterode by phone, Bill Veith in studio. I'm Desi Andrews, and we have Jim from Ohio. Jim.
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask...
Frank. Well, we'll take Jim, and then I'll get right to you, Frank. Sorry. Didn't have my glasses on. Go ahead, Jim.
I wanted to ask you and Ralph about the... what's that Patriot attorney's name, won the big case in Tennessee?
I think he just mentioned his name a few moments ago. However, it was in a pejorative tone.
Larry Becraft?
Yeah, Becraft. Is he a good guy or not?
Well, let me give you my brief overview. This is my opinion, nobody else's.
Yes.
First of all, the Coughlin trial proved absolutely nothing detrimental to the Internal Revenue Service. I looked at the jury instructions. The jury instructions were set up such that the jury thought that there were still that she would be paying her taxes. Ms. Coughlin, Bernie Coughlin, would be paying her taxes after the trial was over. It was only whether she had willfully done something. Now, with that said, they found her innocent of willful. But in the end, Mr. Becraft, and this is, by the way, is on his homepage. In the last part, he said that she would be filing her income tax returns.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And Mr. Becraft did a different issue. That jury instructions was set up in a manner that helped Ms. Coughlin, and I don't fault her for that. I don't think she had any hand in it at all. But it was set up, from my perspective, Mr. Becraft to win that particular case, and it won absolutely nothing against the IRS as far as exposing what they do.
So it didn't hurt the system at all?
No, it didn't hurt the system at all. Absolutely not, because in the end, Mr. Beecraft says, well, she's going to pay her, she's going to file her income tax returns.
Well, then it's also your impression that Harpo went down because he had influence with a lot of people and it needed to end. Is that true?
And Harpo's jury instructions, which you can go to my homepage and read, his was set up. There was no way for Mr. Harpo to win because what they did is they introduced a 1040, no objections, and once that's introduced and nobody objects, they had in the jury instruction that if you have filed, that shows that you knew you had a duty to file, and if you cease filing, that shows intent to stop.
And is there an obligation to file a 1040, Ralph, in their code and their regulation?
Yeah, for if I live in the Virgin Islands and those places, absolutely.
Or Fiji or someplace, huh?
Yeah, if I live out there, there is a duty, and there's a penalty of $1,000. It's in Title 6688.
So it's not criminal?
Yeah. No, it's not criminal, but they said they can do criminal charges. But, yeah, there's a duty. If I live out in the Virgin Islands and Guam and all those foreign ports, that's fine. But I don't live there.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Alaska's moved.
Anything else, Jim?
Well, just this. I was thinking for the longest time that he was one of us and a hero for the cause, so to speak, and I'm getting a kind of a gut feeling that that's not the way of it at all.
Yeah, pay attention to your gut feeling.
Yeah.
Let me restate my opinion. Mr. Larry Beecraft is a Pied Piper leading people into the abyss of hell.
Well, that's exactly my gut feeling, and so I agree.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Jim, for your call.
Thank you.
Now, Frank, sorry I skipped you.
That's okay. First, I'd like to report that for over a year, 12160 has, in the left-hand corner of Arkansas, at least my part of it, been virtually non-existent. So your funds are going down the drain there, but I'm not omnipresent, so I can't tell if it's everywhere. My question is, I want to sell some wood carvings through a Chamber of Commerce outlet. And if they demand a Social Security number, how can I handle that?
Ralph?
That's a good question. I tell you what, we are blessed with that number, and there's no law that says I have to do that number. And I ran a business without a business license eventually and without workman's comp and some other things. If they are going to demand that you have a Social Security number, you're stuck. If you want to do business, that's the way they've been, and they demand it. You're going to be stuck.
Yeah, I always ask for the law if they get testy with me. I always ask for the law. And then I go to Title 31 and print that down where it can't be used for identification and then ask them what the purpose is. Because it very clearly in 31 says that if anybody asks you for a Social Security number, that they have to give you the purpose that they're going to use it and where they're going to put it and what agencies they're going to give it to. And they sometimes back off. But, I mean, they're so tenacious, the little Nazis out here, about doing the Nazi, the party business. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the problem is if you pitch a fit about the Social Security number, you might prove that you're right and that you're not required to present one, but they can find a way not to do business with you.
Right.
So you can cut your nose off to spite your face.
And if you're selling things like that, you can always get an EIN number and give them the EIN number instead of your Social Security number.
I seem to feel like I've already reached the place where I can't do business without a mark.
Well, sometimes that's just the way it is in this world, Frank. We're trying to change that
right now.
What?
That's what we're fighting to change, because that is part of a benefit offered by Congress. It comes under rights created by the United States. And when rights are created by the United States, it says so right in Babcock versus United States, they can bypass all the courts, do anything they want with us, and that's why they like us to have that social security number.
Well, it's their insurance policy, like the tattoo on the Jew's arms. I mean, that's just what it is. It's their insurance policy.
It's just like when you retire, they get around and put in there that they unequivocally can't take any of the retirement for anything. Then they get around over in the code section over in 6331 and say, in spite of any of the law, we can still come after.
Okay, thanks for your call, Frank. We'll be back after the break with Mike in Maryland and Bill in Texas.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed gel. You squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain, but what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Hi, Bessie Andrews in studio with Bill Veith. We're fortunate enough to have Ralph Winterode on the phone with us today. And Mike in Maryland, what have you got to say?
Well, it's a really good show today, as usual. I want to just get a couple of things straight and maybe correct me if I'm wrong. And I've been following you on the show here, the things you talk about, and it's, I find it intriguing and fascinating, but let me get something straight. If I follow a few simple rules, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, basically I can drive around without insurance, without a driver's license, without a license tag, and if I get pulled over, all I have to do is just say I reserve the right to counsel, and then if I appear in court and repeat that, the judge is forced to say, take a hike and nothing happens to me? I'm sure it's more complicated than that.
Not quite. You have to establish a constitutional violation on anything, books and records with the IRS, whatever. With the police, you have to establish what's called a constitutional seizure. And a constitutional seizure is when a reasonable person would discern that you're not free to leave. And you have to establish it. You need to keep a record of it by a video camera or by an audio tape. And the simplest ways to get it with any time you're dealing with anybody from the government is, am I under arrest? They'll say no. Am I free to go? No. At that point, a reasonable person would figure out that obviously that they're not free to go. And then we all have a traveling Fifth Amendment right of protection of assistance to counsel and the right to not give evidence against herself. But you have to invoke it. But you can't just invoke it without having a constitutional violation.
So it's very important you establish the seizure with the first two questions.
So if
Under arrest and we're free to go? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes, right. And then you get those. You have to prove it. And then you have the assistant to counsel issue. Now,
Then you say I reserve the right to counsel?
No, I can't proceed without assistance of counsel.
You say that I'm invoking my right of Fifth Amendment right of assistance of counsel and the right to remain silent and the right to not give evidence. Now, if you have a driver or license, but at that point, what you've done, if you've seen the Miranda, the shows on TV with the Miranda warning, and then they proceed forward, they have no evidence until the assistance of counsel shows up.
Okay, so...
no evidence.
I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right for assistance to counsel?
Right.
Yes.
And so anything that they take from you after that can't be used against you because you've invoked your Fifth Amendment right. So you're not going to confess to anything at that from that point on.
Then you're operating under the law of necessity to stay alive because you got to be real careful because a lot of these cops, when you do that, they're starting to catch on. They go ballistic. Some of them definitely need to, they need an anger management course because don't want this to happen.
They might get medieval on me. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, but see, at that point, you know, they say driver license, hand it to them, man. If they say, do you have insurance? You say, doesn't everybody?
Well, what I've done, I usually give a driver license, and I don't carry insurance because I can't afford to anymore. But I say, you know, I'd like to answer your question, but I must respectfully decline until I get assistance to counsel. Or I just say, no, I've invoked my Fifth Amendment right, and I choose not to answer.
Yeah, you don't have to confess anything. It's all confession.
It's worse here in Anchorage because they take people to jail. They call your car off, and I've done it like five times. We had a guy just the other day. Did it. They did actually put him under arrest. He got out of the car. They towed the car, but they didn't take him to jail. They filed a charge. We went down to the court, and there was no charge.
Okay.
So he got his car back.
This is the kind of thing where, I mean, you got to make sure you're on your P's and Q's and know what you're doing. Because they can burn you a new one if you slip up, right?
Well, you got to be very careful. The thing that you have to understand is that these people are trained. These cops are not trained to do the law. They're trained to do what they're doing, which is code enforcement. It's called law enforcement. They're enforcing, the civil law.
You're not peace officers.
They are wanting performance from you to do things. And when you use the Constitution to stop that, they're not happy campers.
Sure.
And you got to be very careful. You don't want to get yourself injured or you don't want to get yourself shot over something like that. It's not worth it.
Well, I mean, that would be an extreme overreaction simply for invoking my constitutional rights. I mean, it would have to be a psycho cop. But didn't y'all recommend a couple of books? And I know there's a website, JUSBELI.com.
That's Ralph's website, JUSBELLI.com.
JUSBELLI.com.
Uh-huh.
And I think a couple of weeks ago, y'all said a book kind of explains this, or there's like a book or two that explains this that I could buy?
Well, I'm going to be writing a book on this and putting a video together. I'm getting all of this, the video and everything, because I've actually went out and done these things. I haven't told somebody else to go do it. I've got, I don't know, probably 50 hours of confrontations with police.
Stay tuned for Ralph's book.
Okay, but I thought there was one that y'all mentioned a couple weeks ago that kind of deals with this. But,
well,
I mean, you want to buy your book.
There's Adventures in Legal Land that tells you how to deal with the courtrooms.
Adventures
in Legal Land.
In Legal Land?
By Mark Stevens.
Okay, by who?
Mark Stevens. Something's happening to your phone, Mike.
Okay, I'm kind of, all right, Mark Stevens. Okay, and so, this is, so basically, you can get a driver license rather than a driver's license?
Well, that's all there is a driver license.
Yeah, well, and see, if you really want to get down to the whole thing, this whole thing, since I put that out a couple of times, and I'll be putting that out again here, or one of these, not too long, but a driver is somebody that is for a commercial motor vehicle.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to the CFRs, Title 49, all the states, all track back to Title 49.
And that's transportation. And if you go into transportation under definitions, I think it's 16102, somewhere around there, you'll see the definitions for commercial operation.
So does this revolve around getting your straw man back, or is that something else entirely?
No, this is totally different.
Okay, but justbelli.com will explain that?
I haven't got all of these issues up. Debbie is in the process right now of redoing our homepage, so because we have so much information, and the real bottom line is
I've been paddling so quick on doing all this research. I'm doing is original research.
But basically, like, if I'm driving around with an illegal car without a license plate on it, I mean, every cop is going to stop me every quarter
illegal
mile.
Illegal to who?
Huh?
Illegal to whom?
Well, the state, you know.
I don't.
Well, if you really want to look, you go look in your state. You have a pencil there?
Yes.
Okay, well, if you really want to look at it, go look in your state, and it's under the securities in the UCC. It'll be under 9.505. Look up the definition, 9.505.
It's under what now? What's it called?
It's Uniform Commercial Code, UCC.
Uniform
Commercial Code.
In your commercial code statute, and it'll give the definition of a registered owner is going to be a debtor, and that will reference all the states are the same, because that's one nice thing, everything's uniform. That will reference up to 9.311. And right in the very beginning of 9.311, it will go right back over to your registration laws in your state.
So do you guys drive around without a license plate or a driver's license?
I have, yes. I have for years up here, and that's why I have, in the last couple of years, I have 84 open citations or some that they just don't want to deal with. And actually, I'm in the Ninth Circuit trying to sue to get to court. And I also actually got an invite finally next month here for two of them because I wrote down and make an accusation that the mayor and the police chief are committing acts of treason.
So, well, I would imagine eventually the cops finally catch on and stop and realize it's a waste of time to write you a ticket, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You would think. What they do is they've been with me, they've just been writing him, and they sit in la-la land, and they just never happen, just like they never happened.
The tickets just disappear in a black hole, huh?
No, they don't disappear. They just, nothing happens. I've sued to try to get them to court. I want to get this issue in an appellate court. I can't get it to court.
They won't take Ralph to court.
Oh.
Okay, so you want to confront it and then just get it done with.
Right, and they won't let Ralph in court.
But at least you're not fined or held liable then either, are you?
Well, I just get a lot of cheap entertainment.
Yeah. It's a nice
hobby. He's filling up his videotapes.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate it. Bill in Texas.
Hi, Duffy. I just wanted to make sure that I was straight. Ralph had mentioned substantive regulations.
Right.
Those are the ones that carry full force of law. Is that correct?
Force and effect of law, yes.
Force and effect of law. Okay. Now, is there a characteristic that will differentiate those from the other two?
Yes, there are. They have to have a comment period where the people can comment on them, and the comment period will be at the Federal Register. If you go look at it, it'll be in the date field.
Okay. But
just because it has a comment period does not make it subsidy, but it must be, that's the a major requirement is we get to comment on it. And if you want the real simple overview, we are being ruled by legal notice.
Sure.
Legal notice. I
just wanted to make sure that I understood it so that when I read these, when I looked at them, I could differentiate between substantive and, you know, administrative.
They're in parentheses.
Okay, there's a couple of killers here. First of all, in the state level, they don't want to call them substantive regulations. This is at the federal level.
Right.
In the federal level, you have to look. All of them have at the bottom in brackets, Federal Register Executive Order stuff. They'll have an FR number at the bottom. That's not how you identify them. You must go above the bottom of field that's in brackets, and it will be in parentheses. And
okay.
In parentheses, it will have the word authority, and behind the word authority, it will give the code section that gives the authority for it. Now, they don't put them all at the bottom of the regulation because that'd be way too simple. They will also include a table. And
okay.
So you have to go look at the front at a table and see if there's a table someplace where they will list them because they will issue them under 7805. This is just for IRS. 7805 is a generic, and then they will issue a specific code section, and that's where they list them in a table.
I guess one
of the characteristics would also be that it actually delineates the penalty.
No.
No, does not.
Okay.
No, that's not so.
So the clue is, first look in the parallel tables and see if there's a substantive regulation. Then look in the regulations and look for the thing in brackets down at the bottom. And then look at the top for the table.
Well, okay. You look for the parentheses. The parentheses
That's
is
what,
where the
didn't
authority
I say that?
Is. No, you said brackets.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Not
the brackets are for the Federal Registry, and then the parentheses are actually for the
substantive regulation.
The substantive regulation
right.
that applies to that.
Right.
Whatever it is, CFR.
Right.
And right. there is our total force and effect of law. There is the, because Congress cannot enforce, see, this is another one of the absolute idiotic things. The Constitution of the United States specifically had jurisdictions for the several states and for the territories. The territories is in Article 4.
Sure.
That's rules and regulations. Now, they cannot mix those together, but Congress today, when you go look at the definitions of both state, they will include the District of Columbia and the territories and ad nauseum.
You know,
they can't do that.
It's so important to look at words, too. Ever since I started doing any kind of legal work, at the bottom, when we submit a brief, we always put respectfully submitted. And my son finally looked up submitted the other day, and it means that that's a contract. I gave the magistrate the authority to make whatever administrative decision that he wants to make. I mean, one word. You can write this beautiful brief and at the bottom put respectfully submitted, and whappo, you've done yourself in again. I mean, you have to watch every word, I'm telling you.
What word do you use now?
Well, Rhett put in not submitted to the court. Or not submitting to the court. I just put attested to is what I put on the last one.
Respectfully,
I was
going to
say
submitted.
Anything but submitted, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, right. Thanks for your call, Bill. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you for calling. Steve in Florida.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Fine, how are you doing, Steve?
Question and a comment. Like comment first, if that's okay. I thought Jen was a little bit chicken walking out on you there, Desi.
Oh, well, am I falling down on the job, Steve?
No, you're doing a good job. I think you should replace Jen myself, quite frankly. But listen, this administrative law issue and all this stuff, how does this go towards or to the, they are and have been for a while asking for Social Security numbers now when you buy homes. Now, what that's got to do with buying a home is beyond me.
Ralph?
So where do you stop them on that?
Well, that's a real good question. I mean, I guess what my only comment is everything is agencies. There's nothing out there that's not. They're law enforcement agencies. Everything's an agency.
Well, they ask for it, but if you refuse to give it, what are they going to do?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the particular.
I've heard of real estate closings being stopped when people refuse, and the money's tied up forever.
Well, Andy Goss came to talk to the class one time, and he said his daughter bought a house without a Social Security number. They had to pay a couple of points extra in interest, but that was it.
Well, what if you're buying the place for cash?
No Social Security, baby. They can't dictate you.
Now, they say that's part of the Patriot Act.
Well,
It has nothing to do with financing.
You
buy a house for cash, no financing involved.
No, I'd Indian leg wrestle them over that one.
One of the things that you always want to do with all of these people when they proffer all these stuff is something Desi mentioned too. You say, well, you know what? I'm sure you're absolutely right and correct. So now then, could you please provide me the statute and the subsidy regulation that you're quoting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Always ask.
See, if you're financing, then you're entering into a contract with the people.
Right, and that has to do with credit and all that.
Right,
other
right. Then it's a contract situation rather than a constitutional situation. But if you're not financing it, then you can invoke the Constitution.
Yeah, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you ain't got to give your Social Security number.
Right.
Is there anything in the Constitution that says you do?
Nope.
Nope. Just tell them, thanks, I choose not to participate. They can't dictate on the cash.
Huh?
They can't dictate on the cash. Uh-uh.
I went to the hospital here the other day. Here I had a little issue looked at it. I went in, they wanted a Social Security number, and I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't do that. But I said, well, but we got to have it. I said, no, you do, and I'm going to pay cash. And they went and relented. And then I read the contract that they want you to sign on releasing records, and I crossed out the part that the other people can look at my records without my permission. I said, none of their business.
Nope.
I got a cash transaction here. I'm in here to receive a service.
Yep.
And I crossed it out, and they didn't do anything about it.
Yep.
And I just initialed it.
Yep. Yep, they'll get real ugly, but, you know, you ask them, hey, that's great, it sounds good, but where's the law? Thanks for your call. Appreciate
it.
Steve in Texas.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Y'all were talking about enforcing your Fifth Amendment right here a little earlier. I had the opportunity to do that last night about 11 o'clock here in our beloved Williamson County.
Oh, the fun place.
Yes. I asked am I under arrest? He said, no. I asked, I guess I'm not free to go. He said, no, you're being detained. And I said, well, then I can't proceed without assistance of counsel. He said, what's that? I said, that's assistance of counsel. It's one of the rights I have. And he asked me for my driver license. I told him it died. And he looked at me funny again.
Expired, said, ran out of air.
Yes. But I said, but here's my form of identification. And I handed him a passport. Now, let me read you what my passport says on the inside.
Before you say that, I don't know if it's a United States passport, but you know what they say anymore when you give them a passport? Anybody can forge one of those. That's what they say to me. But
he took it with him, took it back to the car with him, came up with this little pink slip, asked me to sign, and I signed it, no recourse, and he had some questions about that, too.
Okay.
Steve,
hang on, and you can read that after the break, okay? We'll be right back.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Okay, we're back. It's the National Intel Report. I'm Desi Andrews, Bill Veith in studio, Ralph Winterode in Alaska on the line, and Steve in Texas. He sounds like he's either read your webpage, listened to you before, or come to my class. What do you think, Ralph?
Sounds like.
Okay, what did your passport say?
I've been to your class. I listen to every word you speak, and I go to Just Bell Eye on a regular basis.
Oh, all right.
My passport states, and I quote, The Secretary of Secretary of State of the United States of America hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the citizen / national of the United States named herein to pass without delay or hindrance, and in case of need to give all lawful aid and protection. So this is exactly the same thing in French below that, but I'm not going to do that. But
is that standard language on a passport?
I'm sorry?
Is that standard language on a passport?
I don't know.
How did it get on yours?
I went to England about 7 years ago and
wow.
had to get a passport to do so. And that's
impressive.
Just what I got.
Desi's looking at hers right now to see if that's what her language says.
Is that what it says? I can't read it. Too small. Okay, anything else, Steve?
Yeah, my question is,
okay.
Where do I go from here? And
it says the same thing.
Since the police officer did exactly what this passport said not to do, where does that go?
How nice to know what's in your passport. I had no idea it said that in there.
Top
Isn't
paragraph.
That amazing? Yeah, I see it now. Darn.
So what did the policeman do? He wrote you a ticket anyway?
Yes.
Did he detain you past writing you the ticket?
I'm sorry?
Did he detain you past writing the ticket, or did he let you go?
No.
Once you signed the ticket without recourse, he let you go?
Yes.
Okay.
What I would do, I would demand an evidentiary hearing.
Right.
The first thing I would demand, because they have no evidence.
Exactly. Yeah, demand an evidentiary hearing, and then get the cop on the stand and ask him what evidence he has. And if he says, hey, you're whatever, you say objection, no evidence, there's no evidence before the court. Because they have no evidence beyond the point where you said, I can't proceed without assistance of counsel. It has to be stricken.
Okay, yep, and what about the reason he pulled me over, though, being a taillight out?
Well, he obviously can stand on probable cause.
He wrote me a warning. Let me think. He wrote me a warning for that, but he wrote me a ticket for my registration being
right.
out of date, and he didn't even bother with the inspection sticker, which
well,
is also out of date.
How would he know your registration's out of date if he hadn't pulled you over and then
exactly.
anything after that, after assistance
he got
of
that,
counsel?
Right, okay, so he
okay.
got that information after I invoked my
right.
Fifth Amendment right.
I think
he
did.
I had to explain that to him.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yep, so he has no evidence.
Right, no evidence.
No evidence.
Right.
So I'll just take it to court.
Ask for an evidentiary hearing, get the guy on the stand, and ask him what he's got against you. And everything is stricken after I can't proceed without assistance of counsel. Okay?
Right. And he's going to remember I said that because I said it three times, and I had to explain it to him.
Well, like Ralph said, it's best to carry a camera and a recorder, but I'm sure that was a highway patrolman, right?
No, it's a Williamson County Sheriff.
Well, he's got a recording device, too. You can always ask it. When you do an evidentiary hearing, he can do a...
Next time I see you, I'm going to introduce myself, and I'm going to let you kick me, because right there in my cup holder, I had a micro cassette recorder, and I didn't use it.
All right, I'll kick you, Steve. It's a deal. Are we through?
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
No, I don't mean with you, Steve. I mean, the program is over. It slipped right past... Oh, we
hey,
have
can
40...
I put my... My webpage up, justbelly.com.
Do anything you want to, Ralph. Our
yeah,
time is yours.
JUSBELLI.com, justbelly.com, and I got three emails. So you get on, you'll get a lot of good information. JUS.
Yeah. Sign up for his emails. It's he has a good thread. A class is Sunday, and don't forget to go to petitionforpeace.net. We need folks to sign up for peace. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making
bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBNLive.com.